Welcome to the Story Story Night podcast, where you hear true stories on a theme, recorded live on stage and without notes. I'm your host, Jessica Holmes. Today, with our added week in May, we release the final two stories from our fabulous slam in April 2011, Coming of Age, Stories of Growing Pains and Rites of Passage. Both stories show a hint from our upcoming theme on May 30th, Parental Guidance. First, story slammer Matt Erpelding faces the ride of his life.
I generally don't get nervous when I got on stage, but this one makes me nervous, so we'll see how I do. Where to start? I know I only have 5 minutes. Don't play that guitar, I swear it. Somehow I ended up in Pocatello. The world takes you places you would never expect to go. But I was in Pocatello, and I hate Valentine's Day. And I've hated Valentine's Day for exactly 20 years. The reason for that is not why you think you all are like, oh, some girl broke his heart. That's happened like 50 times, but that's not actually what I'm considering here. I went to a high school track meet in 1991, and that track meet's called the Simplot Games. It's in Pocatello. And I grew up in Colorado. And the reason that that's important to me is because I learned a really terrible lesson. On February 14th, I left Denver, Colorado, and my mom said to me, call your mom on Valentine's Day. And I was like, okay, mom. But there was this girl named Roxanne on the trip, and I was running really fast at the time, and I didn't call her on Valentine's Day like I had promised, which was Saturday. And I got home to Colorado on the 15th, and she wasn't there. And she was in the hospital. And she was sick. And she actually died. I know, a bit of a downer. But the thing about that is that running became the focus of that death and that injury. So I ran 2 years of college in Pocatello at Idaho State University and ultimately realized that I will tell you, I sucked at Division I cross country and track. I was not very good. So I quit. And in the process of that learning experience, I had been going home to Colorado. And when I quit, I actually filed to transfer to the University of Colorado at Boulder because that's where my family was and that was safe. And I went home to Denver, not Pocatello. That's not home. I went home and I had to wear a tie to this stupid-ass job I had. I worked at Bank One Denver, which is now U.S. Bank, in the basement, and I never saw anybody. And I had to wear a tie every day. And I scanned documents just like all day, just And I remember thinking, this sucks. Not only does this suck, but what the hell am I going to do with my life? I'm here in Colorado, and I don't really want to be here. And this was before the internet, so I got a couple of Performance Bicycle Shop magazines, and Performance just opened a shop here in Boise, and a Nash Bar Bicycle magazine, and I went, I'm going to ride my bike back to Pocatello. And so I bought a bunch of supplies, and I really had no idea what I was doing. I talked this other guy, Adam, to going with me, and then about 3 days before we were supposed to leave, he was like, this is really a terrible idea, and I'm not going to go with you. And I was like, you're an ass. So I talked to my dad, and I said, Dad, I need you to take me to Fort Logan National Cemetery because I'm out of here. And my dad was like, what the hell are you doing? You're transferring to CU. You're going to live here with us now. And I was like, no, I'm not. I'm going back to Pocatello. I have no idea why because that place is a dump. But I'm going back to Pocatello, and you can't stop me. And he said, okay. So he drove me to the cemetery, which is where my mom is buried, and he said, I don't know why you want me to drop you off here, but whatever. He dropped me off, and I remember having like a brief argument with him at the cemetery. And then I sat there for a while, and I just said, you know what? Mom, I ran college. I went to college, and unfortunately, I didn't do it for myself. I might have been more successful, but I did it for you. And I won't be coming back here. I'm not going to come back here again. And I left. And I rode my bike back to Pocatello. Now, at certain phases in your life, you have a choice. You can view the world as a scary, dangerous place, or you can view the world as a generally safe place. And it kind of affects the rest of your life, how you choose to view it. So after the ass kicking that I received leaving Denver and riding into the mountains of Colorado, which by the way are steep, I broke a cleat on my bike, on my shoe, on my bicycle, and I couldn't clip into my pedal, and I was having trouble getting over Berthoud Pass. And I remember sitting on the side of the trail, and I was in tears, actually, because I was eating a power bar, the original power bar, and I envisioned that power bars are like what dogs think when they sniff crap. They go, it doesn't smell bad, but it's probably not tasty, but I'm going to try it anyway. So I was eating this power bar, and I was just like, my life is terrible. I'm going to have to call my dad and tell him that he has to come and get me. And for some reason, I put my thumb out, and this guy picked me up. And he drove me up over the pass, and he dropped me off in Estes Park. And in the bike shop there was no part to fix my shoe, so I was still going to have difficulty. And as I was riding out of town, he picked me up again. And he took me to his house with his wife and made me dinner. And in the morning, he made me breakfast. And then he said, stay here as long as you want. We're going to work. And this perfect stranger left me in his house with his checkbook on the table. And I looked at it and I thought, that is impressive. This guy has no idea who I am. He's left me here. And so I kept riding. And I went to Soda Springs after like 7 days of sweating and all kinds of terrible other things that happened on the process and a lot of introspection. And I went to the police station in Soda Springs and I said, can I sleep in your park? And they were like, this fool can sleep in our park. So they let me sleep in the park. I'm going to keep on rolling here. So they let me sleep in the park, and this stray dog, dirty stray dog, befriended me. And so I spent the whole day like playing fetch with this random dog that then slept in my tent with me. It's kind of creepy. Don't judge. Okay? But in the morning, I remember riding off, and I rode off, and as I rode over Fish Creek Pass into Lava Hot Springs, I just thought, man, I'm coming home. This is where I want to be as I got closer to Pocatello. And when I got to Pocatello, I met this guy, Jeremy, who is a world-class athlete. Now remember, I hate Valentine's Day. I regret not calling that person on Valentine's Day for 20 years. So I meet this guy, Jeremy, and he is Idaho State's fastest steeplechase runner all time, ex-Terra all-world athlete, and he and I become best friends. And I'm his best man at his wedding. And doing what I do for a living, I spend 30 or 40 days in the field at a time without calling anybody or talking to anybody. And one of my biggest fears is that when I come out of the field, one of the people that I'm close to is dead or gone forever. Because in my world, I don't get to see them on the other side. I don't get to see them again. So I came off of a trip, and this was in 2009. And Jeremy called me right as I came out of the field after I came out of the field, and I was super excited to talk to him because the year before he'd placed in the top 30 at Xterra Worlds. And this guy was a person who I was striving to be, and he said, Matt, I have stomach cancer. And I said, I won't let you down, whatever it takes, I won't let you down. And over the next year, I went and visited him, and anytime I went into the field, I called him, and I said, I'm going into the field. When I come back, I'll call you immediately. And I'll make sure I see you. So over Thanksgiving, I went to see him. And he was really sick, and he was hospicing at home. And he said to me, I said, in the garage, because he was trying to get one of his really like $5 billion dollar bicycles down. And he was too weak to lift it down, and it weighs like 6 pounds. And I said, Jeremy, you have a wife and two kids, and they're some of my closest friends. What do you want me to do when the time comes? And he said, don't worry. I'll call you when things get shitty. And I looked at him and I was like, dude, I don't know if you recognize this right now, but things are pretty shitty. And he said, I'll call you. And so on December 3rd, for some reason, I was playing volleyball, which is a stupid sport. And I twisted my ankle and ended up in a boot. Now, I'm a climbing guide, so twisting my ankle on a perfectly flat four was really lame. But what this did was it put me in a boot, and it made it so I couldn't teach that weekend. And on the morning of December 5th, Rebecca texted me and she said, I think today's the day. You need to get here. And so I got a plane ticket that day. And I flew to Sacramento. And I got there at 6 o'clock. And I had Jeremy by his elbow because he was so skinny I could have his pulse right there. And as he died, he fondled his ring and he looked at his wife. And I remember thinking to myself, now I can finally come of age because I let her down in 1991, but I'm here for him. And I will never, ever forget that. Thank you.
Priority seating tickets are now available for parental guidance. Stories of direction and misdirection from mom and dad. Held on Monday, May 30th. As a compliment to the theme, Story Story Night is also holding a special youth-oriented event with United Way on Wednesday, June 1st, called Kids Helping Kids. Both are held at the Lennon Building, and both will be awesome. Come to one, come to all. Learn more at storystorynight.org. Next, story slammer Marty Camberlengo channels the spirit of his grandpa.
I was kind of tricked into this, so let's see if I can do it. I remember when I met your grandmother. There was two jobs back in my day. One was bucking hay, and the other was cutting corn tassels. All the ladies seemed to cut corn tassels, so that's what I did. I went to cut corn tassels. It was a hot day that day that I met your grandmother. Very hot. We were cutting corn tassels, and we were covered in corn pollen, and it was hot. Did I mention it was hot? And your grandmother thought that going over to the ditch would be a good idea, and we could cool ourselves in the ditch. And something deep inside of me started to rise up, you would say. And I wasn't sure what it was, but I think your grandmother did. And we went over to that cold ditch, and your grandmother lifted up her dress and put her ankles in that cold water. Now, back in my day, that was a pretty good thing. And let me tell you something about your grandmother. Back in my day, there was two kinds of people. There was the dirties and the dandies. And your grandmother, I couldn't tell which, but she was either the dandiest of the dirties or the dirtiest of the dandies. I certainly learned a lot from your grandmother.
Thank you for listening. Story Story Night is brought to you by presenting partner the Boise State Story Initiative, venue partner the Lennon Building, design partner Neighborhood All-Stars, and our broadcast partner Boise State Public Radio. Please donate now at radio.boisestate.edu. Our Story Story Night theme and podcast production are by Dan Costello. Hear more at hearcostello.com. Please join us next week for a podcast exclusive preview of our May 30th show, Parental Guidance. Learn more at storystorynight.org.